Best year ever.
You're on Nightlife on ABC Radio. You might know British singer-songwriter Lloyd Cole from his classic debut LP, Rattlesnakes, back when he was with the Commotions in the 80s. I know it's a song we've played on ABC Radio quite a bit over the years, so just a reminder of Rattlesnake.
She says a girl eats a gun these days, hey, on account of all the rattlesnakes. She looks like
Yeah, you might be an old fan, but you might have also discovered Lloyd more recently, maybe through his acclaimed 2023 solo album On Pain, which is his 12th solo album. With velvety vocals and wry lyrics, Lloyd Cole's been making songs about love and pain for more than 40 years. He's returning to Australia for a series of shows early next year. Tonight, he has programmed not one, but two Best Year Ever playlists for you. So we're going back both to 1972 and 1977. Hey, Lloyd, welcome to Nightlife.
Thanks for having me.
Why couldn't you pick between the 2 years? Were they very, very close in your mind in terms of musical quality?
Well, I was 11 years old in 1972, which was just the great year to be 11 years old. And I was 16 in 1977 when The Clash and the Sex Pistols broke, which is the perfect age to be in 1977. So I feel very lucky to have been born in 1961.
All right. Well, we'll try and equally share our time tonight between the 2 years and some of the music that came out of them. So let's start with 72. As you said, you were 11. When did kind of music really start making a big impact on you? And do you remember sort of when it cut through to you?
Yeah, like it was really round about then. I remember my 11th birthday party. My mum bought me Electric Warrior by T-Rex for my birthday. We had a party, kids came around to the house, we played records. I think the first record I ever bought was Have You Seen Her by the Shy Lights. But the second record I ever bought was Telegram Sam by T-Rex, which I think is still the acme of all rock and roll recording.
So we're going to hear that. What do you think is so magic about it?
Well, I think they just got the sound. The sound, it just jumps out of the speaker at you. I mean, it just, the sound of that guitar and the drums and the bass, I can't think of a rock and roll record that hits that hard the way Telegram Sound does. So I think in that way, it's perfect. But also, you know, Mark Bolan in 1972 was something that kids like me hadn't really seen before. It was a guy with long curly hair with makeup and glitter on his face wearing women's shoes. It was quite a challenge. It was awesome.
Now at 11, you know, boys are kind of on the cusp of girls and hormones, and there was certainly some kind of sexual references going on in this song. Did you take that in at the time?
I probably don't think so. I think it was... I mean, I that was the year that I started being interested in girls, but I didn't really see it in the music yet.
Well, here is T-Rex to kick off the first part of our playlist from 1972 with Lloyd Cole tonight and Telegram Sam.
Yeah.
T-Rex with Telegram Sam, a song from 1970 that's being chosen for you tonight by my guest in Best Year Ever, although we might call it Best Years Ever tonight because Lloyd Cole has chosen both 1972 and 1977. Lloyd will be back in Australia early next year, 17th of March in Melbourne at the Recital Centre, Factory Theatre in Sydney on the 19th, Brisbane at the Tivoli on the 22nd of March, the Gov in Adelaide on Tuesday 24th, the 27th, Perth at the Astor Theatre, and also to Hobart at the Odeon Theatre on Friday 29th. So, Lloyd, when you were, the 11-year-old listening to all this music, were you influenced at all by what your parents were playing? Was it a discovery you were making all on your own?
I think it was a little bit of both. My parents, we inherited a strangely large house from my grandparents. So the people who lived close to us thought we were rich, but we weren't. But we did have a grand piano in the living room, and my father did used to play it. And he was really into Fats Domino, kind of boogie-woogie piano. He taught himself how to play that kind of thing. So that sort of stuff was going on in the house. And I think probably my gravitation to glam rock was probably a reaction against that somewhat.
Well, next up, we have one of Rod Stewart's early hits. Why have you chosen You Wear It Well for us tonight?
Well, because I think it's fantastic. I think it's maybe one of the best things Rod ever recorded. And also it was key in my childhood because we lived in this big house, but we couldn't really afford to live there because the rates for the local taxes in the UK in those days were based on the property value of your house. So my grandfather had given us this house, but we couldn't really afford to live in it. So we had lodgers, and we had these kids who were doing sandwich courses at universities, working in this tire factory in town. And so they were all about 18 or 19. And for me, it was great because I was 11, 12, and they were 18, 19, and I was getting to listen to the music that they listened to. And so I think that's a key thing for how I got into music. I was listening to the stuff that my peers were listening to, but I was also listening to what these 18-year-olds were listening to, and they were listening to this record.
It's Rod Stewart, You Wear It Well.
Now I'm eating my heart out, trying to get back to you.
Rod Stewart and You Wear It Well from 1972. And Lloyd Cole is bringing you a playlist. Well, first of songs from 1972, but then we're going to skip to 1977, 2 years that Lloyd Cole, who'll be in Australia early next year, is telling us were incredibly influential in his development. Now, Lloyd, we've got David Bowie up next. What influence did he have on you as a teenager?
Everything, really. I mean, between Mark Boland and David Bowie, that was my whole life. When I was 14 or 15 years old, waiting for the next David Bowie record, waiting for the next T-Rex record, I felt like, in retrospect, I did my apprenticeship to try and be a pop singer just by studying these guys so. I mean, I just listen to the music all the time.
And when did you start actually thinking you were going to be a musician and start playing instruments yourself?
Well, I started playing instruments myself, like a lot of people from my generation, around about when punk rock happened, which said, anybody can do this. And so, yeah, I got a bass guitar, and we had a band in when I was 16 years old or so, we used to play in the house I was living in. My parents had moved up to Glasgow, but I was finishing my studies, so a family friend had let me borrow a little house. So I was living in this tiny little house on my own, and we used to practice. We never played a public concert. We played, I think, a couple of parties. That was about it. But that's how I got started.
And so back to Bowie. I mean, at one point, you actually asked him to sing on one of your records, didn't you? What was your pitch to him?
Well, I did, but it was too late. He was really sick by then. Mm. Maybe he would have said no anyway. But I love Bowie so much in so many ways. He's so great at so many different things. I mean, he's such an amazing singer. He's an amazing songwriter. But I think the thing that people don't sometimes think about, he's an amazing background singer. On those Iggy Pop records and those Lou Reed records where he's doing the background vocals with Iggy or with Mick Ronson, he's just fantastic. And I just thought, oh, it'd be lovely if I could get David to sing on one of my records in that way. But it never came to be.
So you've chosen for us tonight, Gene Genie. Why this song in particular?
Well, Gene Genie was the first song that Bowie released after he'd broken and become huge. Starman was the song that broke him when he went on Top of the Pops, and they had the sort of gender bender thing with him and Mick Ronson that seemed incredibly outrageous at the time. All of a sudden, after Starman, after Ziggy Stardust broke, Bowie was everywhere. And the Gene Genie was the first song that he released after he was already a big star. And it was just, I think it was a fantastic statement of like, here I am. I am a rock star.
David Bowie and Gene Genie, chosen for you tonight by my guest, Lloyd Cole, who'll be back in Australia early next year doing various shows around the country. Lloyd, how were you listening to new music back when you were 11? Was it radio? Was it records that people brought around to the house?
Both, but mostly radio. There was independent radio, commercial radio, as we called it back then, and then was the BBC radio. And the wonderful thing about radio in the early 70s in the UK was that Radio 1 had to play everything. It had to play David Bowie. It had to play Neil Sedaka. It had to play Perry Como. Whatever was in the charts, whatever was popular, Radio 1 had to play. So there was none of this stuff where a particular radio station only played a certain... I think I honestly missed that. I love the fact that you turned on the radio and you could hear anything.
Do you still listen to radio today to hear new music, or are you on, you know, the streaming platforms like so many other people?
It's a waste of time to try and listen to the radio to listen for music these days, unless you have a couple of certain shows. Like there's a couple of shows on National Public Radio in America that showcase new music. If I'm driving around and it's on, sure, I'll listen, but yeah. No, mostly it's just down to listening to what people are talking about, what might be going on right now, and going out there and having to search it out, which is frankly kind of depressing, because you can spend an hour listening to all of the recommendations of what's going on right now and not like anything. Yeah, it's I I don't love where we're at right now.
Well, let's get people to listen to some music that you've chosen for them anyway. The next track we've got, this is from your 1972 playlist, is I'll Take You There by the Staple Singers. Tell us about the Staple Singers.
Well, the Staple Singers were on Stax Records. I have to admit, I didn't know about the Staple Singers in 1972. I only knew about them a few years later when I found an album called, it was a Stax Records compilation that I bought in a record shop. Just when I was starting to get bored with punk rock, and I just fell in love with the Staple Singers. I fell in love with Stax Records, but specifically the Staple Singers, because they had this thing where they took the feeling of gospel music and the feeling of R&B and soul music and brought it together in just a sublime way. I adore the Staple Singers. I will adore them to my deathbed.
Here they are with I'll Take You There.
I'll take you there.
What a great track. Staple Singers, I'll Take You There, chosen for you tonight by Lloyd Cole, who is bringing you not one but two best years ever, 1972. We've got one more track left in 1972. Then we're going to move forward to 1977. All right, Lloyd, let's finish off 1972. The final track on our list for this section of our conversation tonight is Bill Withers and Use Me. Tell me about why you've chosen this track and what it means to you.
Because it's just the grooviest track ever. I mean, it's just effortlessly funky. Mm. And Bill Withers just seemed to have that way of doing things where if you listen to what he's putting down, you go, how could these things all add up together to be so funky? But he did it. He just had a thing. And, you know, when I was coming up, when I was listening to music, for me it was rock and roll and it was R&B, soul, funk, whatever. I was not really interested in metal or jazz or classical music. It was rock and roll and R&B, and this is really cool.
Bill Withers with Use Me.
And then you act real rude to me. Till you use me up. Until you use me up. Talking about you using people, it all depends on what you do. It ain't too bad the way you use me, cause I sure am using you to do
the Bill
same.
Withers and Use Me. Chosen for you by my guest tonight, Lloyd Cole. He'll be in Australia in March. Melbourne at the Recital Centre on March 17th. Sydney at the Factory Theatre on the 19th. Sunday the 22nd of March in Brisbane at the Tivoli. The 24th in Adelaide at the Gov. 27th in March, Perth at the Astor Theatre. And then Friday the 29th of March in Hobart at the Odeon. And Lloyd, I know in the last few years you've been mainly touring and playing acoustic shows, but you're making this one electric. Why now? Why electric? Why have you gone back to that?
Well, it's not exactly going back to it. I only played a solo electric show once before in my life, I believe in 1987 in London for a political show called Red Wedge. So it's not an electric band show I'm doing. I'm playing the solo show. And I just think I got to the point where I've been playing a solo show with an acoustic guitar for so long, and I think I just didn't really want a folk singer on my gravestone. I don't really think that that's what I am, even though I've been using this instrument. The instrument is so loaded, it makes you think about folk singer, protest singer.
So what do you want on your gravestone?
Not folk singer. I don't know what I want. You know, I mean, I like the idea that I've assembled a body of work that means something to some people and makes some people's lives richer. Mm. That's really I want and I'm happy with that. So I just thought maybe as the last image that people see of me, because I can't go on forever. Maybe I'd prefer them to see me with an electric guitar. So I've been practicing pretty much every day for several months, and hopefully by the time it's March of next year, I'll be ready for it.
Now, let's move to the 1977 part of our list tonight. How had your relationship with music changed between 72 and 77? Obviously, you're older now, you're an older teenager. How did the world look different and the world of music look different to you by then?
Well, I suppose by then girls were a thing. I'm not sure if that impacted my interest in music that much, but they were definitely a thing by then. I think the Sex Pistols changed everything for my generation. I think when Anarchy in the UK came out, it just kind of tore up the whole idea of what music had to be. And when we look back and we listen to it, we'll go, well, it's basically just really loud pub rock with really interesting lyrics. But at the time, it seemed incredibly revolutionary. I had to say to my mother, I said, "Mother, I can't wear flared trousers anymore. Can you take these trousers in?" And she did. She took my jeans and she took them in so that they were straight leg. We couldn't afford to just throw them out, buy new ones. And very luckily, she had her old motorcycle jacket when she was courting my father, and she used to ride in the sidecar of the motorcycle, and she gave me this wonderful leather jacket, and that was it. I was off.
You put the safety pins in it, didn't you?
I did. I feel so bad about that. I feel so stupid. It was such a beautiful jacket, but yeah, I did put safety pins in it.
Well, you had to. It was 1977. Now, you've chosen The Clash, Complete Control. And just why this in particular?
Well, I don't think The Clash aren't my favorite punk band by no means, but I just think that this was the moment. This song really encapsulated the whole feeling of punk, and I think it's the best punk single.
Here we are, The Clash, Complete Control. The sounds of The Clash and Complete Control from 1977, the year that Lloyd Cole is sharing a few songs from sharing a few songs from that year with you tonight here on Night Live, you with Suzanne Hill. Now, believe it or not, David Bowie's back, isn't he, Lloyd?
Of course, he was never away. David Bowie was there all through the 1970s. Every year he did something fantastic. And Low, I think, is the best David Bowie record. Well, it's the one I think we're most fond of. And Sound of Vision is so beautiful. And at the same time, it's got nothing to do with punk rock. It's got a lot more to do with R&B and a kind of warm feeling while talking about alienation. So I think it's a very, 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 very beautiful piece of art.
David Bowie's Sound and Vision. We're talking to Lloyd Cole in Best Years Ever tonight. We've done some music from 1972. Now we're playing some of Lloyd's favourite music from 1977. And Lloyd, Iggy Pop with Lust for Life. Again, probably not a surprise that Iggy Pop's on this list too, because you obviously you've admired his work as well as Bowie's for a long time.
Like I discovered Iggy because of Bowie. Bowie used to talk about Iggy all the time in the early 70s. And I never really got the Stooges, to be honest. Bowie produced Raw Power, and it kind of passed me by. I was a little bit too young for it, I think. But when they made The Idiot, you know, this period, 1976 to 1977, Bowie and Iggy, they sort of escaped from Los Angeles and they moved to Europe together as friends. And then Bowie made four albums in the space of 1 year. The first one being Low, and then The Idiot, and then Lust for Life, and then Heroes. I don't think anybody who's been a major artist has ever had that kind of incredible output of that kind of incredibly high quality in such a short period of time. It was incredible. I guess we should all just like drive ourselves crazy taking too much cocaine and then stop and then see what happens. But so Bowie went out on tour with Iggy to promote The Idiot, playing keyboards. And then when they finished that tour, I think the band all felt really good about how they were playing. So they went into the studio to make an album, and they recorded Lust for Life in just a few days. Apparently Iggy said he couldn't sleep during the period, because if he'd slept, he wouldn't be able to keep up with how fast Bowie was. So Iggy just didn't sleep, and they just made this record. And I think it's a monumental piece of rock music. And I think it's great that the world finally came around to realizing how great Lust for Life is, because it was kind of ignored when it came out.
Yeah. And Lloyd, this will have to be our last track because we are out of time. I know we had the Commodores and Brick House in the 1977 section too, but I'm afraid
we won't
get time, but we can really embrace Lust for Life and Iggy Pop. And Lloyd, thank you so much for your time tonight, and we look forward to seeing you in Australia with your perfectly played electric guitar.
Looking forward to it so much. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks so much. There's Lloyd Cole, who'll be in Australia in March through Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Adelaide, Perth and Hobart.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.